I'd like to bring Saul Levinson forward. He's going to speak to us about the ICCF in Berkeley and their historical participation in helping the Black Panther Party try to establish community control in Berkeley and other social programs.
I guess you might say we're living proof that the party was not anti-white. it's a real history that we have to really understand, because that's one of the big things that the party's always been criticized for and defamed, the fact that they were super, super black and hated whites. A little history, actually, of how this thing began. When Huey was first arrested, there was a group formed called Honkies for Huey. And by the way, if you've read the news articles about this event, it mentioned that Cece Levinson is going to speak. That's me, only I shave and she doesn't. That's the only difference. She should have been here. She's in a play in Sacramento. Anyhow, she joined us Honkies for Huey and decided that wasn't going to sell. And so they changed the name to the Huey P. Newton Defense Committee, in which she became a leading member. And we worked with the party through the Huey Newton Defense Committee. Maybe BJ remembers what year they had the convention about against fascism, United Front against 69. In 1969, the party had a convention called the United Front Against Fascism. And out of that meeting, one of the ideas which was presented was the formation of groups called, at that time, the NCCF, the National Committee to Combat Fascism. And this was to be white groups which would support the party and its program, people who felt that the party was one of the leading forces which was going to bring change about in this country. And so we did that in Berkeley, actually, or Berkeley in North Oakland. We formed the first NCCF that existed in California, anywhere. And it was patterned strictly the way the party itself was run. By the way, you want to come up, David, or not? That's my son, David. He was one of the leaders of the group at the time. My son, Stephen, did this when he was 11 years old. Wow. He now teaches art in some form. I hope he does better than that. I don't know. Anyhow, we formed the NCCF, and we patterned ourselves after the party. We became a community group. We had a community center in West Berkeley on Stanage, and we had the same, similar programs that the party did. We had a plumbing group that would go out into the community and help people who had needed plumbing help. Did we have a window group too?
Yeah, we had a free window repair program, we had a free plumbing program, we had a free auto mechanics service, we had an emergency medical.
And a medical team.
We had our own ambulance, we had about an old Cadillac ambulance that we found and fixed up and refurbished to take people who couldn't get to the hospital otherwise.
We had a tutoring program for kids in the community at night. Anyhow, so we worked on the same basis, 24 hours a day. People lived in this community center and were on call 24 hours a day to do whatever was needed. Huey then developed this idea of intercommunalism, which BJ mentioned. And so we changed our name from the NCCF to the ISC, Intercommunal Survival Committee to Combat Fascism. Well, this whole concept of intercommunalism was a whole new idea in terms of bringing the whole world into this kind of a movement. Of course, when you knocked on somebody's door and you started to say, I'm from the intercommunal, by the time you finished, it was too late. It was all over with. So, anyhow, we carried on these programs on a daily basis for years, along with the party. And then, as BJ mentioned before, Party came up with this idea of community control of the police, and they needed somebody to get the signatures. I forget how many we needed, like 15,000, I think it was, some number like that. And so we took on that task. And we were out daily in front of the co-ops all over the city collecting signatures. And we finally got on, it took us about 2 years or more, didn't it? Before we finally got on the ballot, and we did, and it created an uproar all over the country. We had headlines in newspapers, we were interviewed by people from all over the country because it was a very revolutionary idea that the people would control the police instead of the vice versa. And so we carried on the campaign and we lost, but it was a very significant campaign, not just because, as BJ said, community police review boards became part of the whole national scene. We got over 30% of the vote in Berkeley itself, and this is with everybody from the dogs to the dog catchers fighting us, and all these, you know, the hierarchy of the community being totally against it. We still got 30%, and I think, of course, in hindsight, you can always think proper things, that if we hadn't been quite so democratic and had one police force with three departments instead of three separate police forces, I think we could have licked them. But that's too late to talk about now. But that became a very, very important issue as far as the United States concerned, because police review boards then became, as BJ pointed out, he took my speech away from me. I don't know what I was going to do. they became a very, you know, forces in every area in the country. So we existed as long as the party did, and when the party, through the COINTELPRO program, began to split apart and have its problems, we sort of faded into the night. Not physically, but most of us are still around, working as we should with the party as members who are still around and doing what we have to do.